The only thing I can tell you right now is, we could sing a song and go home. I feel like I've been to church. You all look sleepy. I think instruments playing, rain beating on the roof. We've had songs about rain. We've sung about rain. I'm getting sleepy too. So I want you to stand while I try to hook up. My bifocals ain't focusing or something. My new glasses have trifocals in them. I don't wear them because I fall a lot. My feet don't go where it looks like they're supposed to go, and people misaccuse me being drunk and all kinds of things. So I don't wear them. So I wear the ones I can't see out of very well. That's what I'm wearing tonight. James chapter 1. I hope you all left this morning feeling rich. That was the go. Kane told me, I'm going to share Kane, okay? Kane told me he went and maxed his credit card out, just giving money away today. Felt that rich. So he said, want to know where the bill went? I said, turn it into Beth, I guess. I don't know. So Beth, if you're watching, you get the bill from Kane, all right? James chapter 1. I want to drop down now. We've made it to verse number 12. And I don't want to bore you with James. I hope you're not getting bored with James. But there's some great things in here that can help us. And Miss Angela's song was perfect for the message today. I want to go down singing hallelujah. Amen. Right? I don't want to go down and just throw my hands up. I mean, I want to go down with the fight. And the thing is, if we believe everything James is telling us, we're going to be all right anyway. So he says in verse 12, first word, blessed. Now what does that mean? Happy, all right? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him. How many of you believe in God's promises?
Amen.
Then there's probably our snag. We say we believe. But in the midst of the circumstance, we don't act like we believe. I'll show you in closing today a true point with that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That's good stuff. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we pause thanking you for everything you've done. Lord, we lift up the special needs tonight. Lord, we've had spoken and unspoken, and you know them all. But Lord, for the next few moments, help us to see what we can see from James. And Lord, help us to apply it to our circumstance that we may be going through. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to go back with me to verse 12, and let's look here for just a moment. If I could, if I had a coin tonight, I could hold a coin up and said in every trial, there's two sides. There's the test side and the temptation side. I want you to know in every trial you go through, there is a test. God is testing us. What are tests about? Tests are about making us stronger, us more reflective of who He is. As you and I go through the test of life, God develops us into more what He wants us to be. And as you go through those, people can see Christ, not you. See, the problem is today we got everybody looking at us. And before we know it, we start living for ourselves. But Matthew says this, let your light so shine out among men that what? They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, the key of the test is for God to be recognized. How's that going to happen? That's going to happen through your prayers. That's going to happen while you can't go anymore. You still go. See, Joseph Kagan came in this morning. He had a fall and he chipped a shoulder, collarbone or something. Am I right, Gina? He came to church this morning in a sling. Well, who's Joseph taking? He's a bus kid.
Yeah.
He's a bus kid that's been coming from the day he can walk almost. Get on the bus, come to church. He's been saved. His parents are here watching him get baptized. And here's what he's doing. He's still going.
Amen.
Broken collarbone and all, he's still going. Oh, bless our hearts. We'd be laid up for sick. The doctor said take some time off. I keep waiting. See, when doctors have told me that I was too dumb to take time off, but now I've been begging the doctor, tell me I need some time off. I want to take papers, show to people. I want some time off. You know, God doesn't want us to want time off. He wants us to go on. And so he said, blessed or happy is the man that, what? Endure temptation. I had to look this up, not Hebrew, Greek, but English. Here's what I found. I thought this was good. It said, stay put. Can I tell you the whole goal of this trial? This trial that you go through is a test. And the test from God is, to see if you'll stay put.
That's right. Amen.
The temptation we're going to read about in a minute is for you to come out. You to quit. You to stop. And that temptation is going to come from your flesh. Because if you're in a temptation or you're in a trial, here's what you want. You want it to be over. Right? You want it to be done. And so sometimes our flesh will lure us out, so we think this is the way to get off and get better. But here's what God says. Happy is the man that endureth temptation.
Yeah.
An English version says, stay put.
Yeah.
So while you're being tempted or tested by God, so I don't know what to do. God says, stay put.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Christians today. They can't stay put. They think moving around is the answer. God says, stay put. I gave an illustration a while ago. I think Mike will fit here. Mike was there, so I don't think it's a repeat sermon, but a repeat illustration. When I was in high school, my senior year, this is, everybody know when you're senior, you're done, right? I'm sorry, Carrie. Carrie's like, oh. Life gets better after high school, but I didn't know that, okay? So I'm thinking, it's my senior year, this is it. Well, if you're going to do something, you got to do something now. So we were going to Mason-Dixon games, which is in Louisville, and it's a spring indoor, it's a spring winter indoor track meet. And so I had been playing basketball the week before, fooling around. We'd stacked some mats up, jumping off mats, dunking basketballs. I sprung my ankle. The coach said, you're not going. Can't take you on the trip. You can't run. You're not going. I said, coach, it's my last year. I'm running. He said, you can't run on that. That ankle was swelled up. It was black and blue. He says, you prove to me you can run on the ankle. I'll let you go. So we went to Dr. McLeod. He was a doctor there in Somerset. And he was a rough guy. He's a guy, an old-fashioned guy. He pulled on it first, you know. You ever got hurt and everybody had to pull on it? They pulled on it. He pulled in there. So I go to his office. And they literally wrapped me as tight as they could with bandages. They wrapped me from here all the way down to my toes. And then, now y'all close your ears if you can't take pain. They took a needle about that long, full of cortisone, and they crammed it down in through that tape, and finally worked its way into that ankle joint, and shot it full of cortisone. Well, I walk out of there like this. And I kick the leg a little bit, and I'm like, wow, that's wonderful. I couldn't really feel it, but it didn't hurt, you know. And so I said, I could run some shoulder. I run around the gym 2 or 3 laps, and I'm on the bus. We go run. Let me say this. After the meet was over, I didn't even take a shower, so I put bag on, showered. Got another shot in there. After everything was over, they untaped that dude. It turned black all the way to my knee. It's a wonder I ever could walk again. But let me say this, I run in that track meet. And I told Rochelle coming up the road, I said, here's the problem with Christians. Y'all ready? Don't get mad. Y'all can't play hurt.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Used to, we could play, when we were kids, we played hurt. Dad said, rub some dirt on it and get back out there. Who's raised that way?
Uh-huh.
Oh, but not now. No. I'll just stay at home. Them people. I'm hurt. They hurt me. Well, play hurt. Because here's what God said. I haven't hurt you. People will always hurt you. But here's what He said. Blessed, happy is the man that what? Endureth temptation. The man that stays put.
Yeah. Amen.
Stays put. You'll be the person to be alright. You're the one that's happy. I can tell you this. Standing here today, I'm happy I did that. I'm happy I run taped. I can say today, I run in that track meet. Now, I could have stayed at the house. I'm happy for doing it. And I can tell you this. I preached a sermon at Mount Hebron. I've been heart surgery and recovery for 3 weeks. Hadn't preached anywhere. 2 Sundays had passed. 1 Sunday was in the hospital. The next Sunday was Easter Sunday. And Rochelle can tell you, I went to church, cried all the way through church. The 3rd Sunday, I preached at Mount Hebron. My doctor said, no, don't go. Don't preach. Don't do anything for 6 months. I'm taking here today. I'm glad I preached. And I preached Sunday, a Wednesday after that. And I preached the next Sunday after that. And I tell you what, I'm glad I did. Why? Because happy is the man that will endure a trial. Folks, if you want to make it through a trial, stay put. Naturally, you want to run. Naturally, you want to bail out. Naturally, you want to do that. But God says, happy's the man that will endure it. Stay put. Now, read on with me. He said this. For when he is tried, remember, there's a test and a temptation. Here's the test. When he's tried, when he's tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord what? Has promised to them that love Him. Now, I didn't take the course. Rochelle and Sarah did. So coming down the road a while ago, I was asking questions. They took the motorcycle course at Eastern Kentucky. Paul Blanton required it for my daughter to get her motor. He said, if she'll go do that, I'm okay. Wear a helmet. Do what they tell you to do. So we send them over there to go take the course. So they come in one day and they're telling me about this class. It's not how fast you go, because with all my motorcycle team, it's how fast you can go. But this course was how slow you can go without putting your feet down. And they had to back the motorcycles way off to crawling and had to do figure eights. That sounds simple, doesn't it? They said it the whole time. You're like looking and about to fall. And finally what they told them to do was look where you're going. Look out there. Look in the curve. Don't take the curve. Look in the curve. And that's really what God's saying here, Ida. This is what God's saying. Ida May, I have a crown of life for you. I promise to give it to you. Now, crown of life is talking about going through life, Doug, I think. And He said, this is for you. Now, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to keep my eyes on Him. Miss Ann, keep my eyes on it. Now, you know what I have a tendency to do? To look here, to trouble. How many of you in a trial have a tendency to look down at the trial? You know what happens when you look down at these girls on their motorcycles? Am I right? You lose your balance because your head's not where it's supposed to be. You and I will lose our balance in the trial if we're not looking where we're supposed to be looking. What happened to Jesus? What happened to Peter when Jesus said, come unto me? He steps out of the boat. Peter steps out of the boat. What happened? Does he walk? He does. He walks. But what happens? Took his eyes off. The Bible says he heard the wind and saw the waves. What happened? He took his eyes where he's supposed to go. See, Jesus had the crown of life in his hand. Peter, all you got to do is come here. It's no different for you and I. And James is telling these dispersed Christians all over the world who's lost their home and everything, you all stay put. Don't run. Don't panic. Don't bail ship. Y'all stay put in the trial. Keep your eyes on me. I've got the crown of life here. Well, it's not salvation, by the way. Y'all understand it, right? I'm holding on to the end. I hope I make it, Greg. That's not how I am. That's not what Angel was sung about. That's talking about making it through this life. What God is saying is, I've got a crown of life for you. How big a deal is that? Every one of you all are going to have something to give God when you get there. Where are you going to get that at? Think they got Scott and I go to D.C. on Monday, and Scott said, I got to take something to the Afghan embassy to give us a goodwill gift. So we stop in the little gift shop at the airport to find some kind of trinket. Well, all he got's bourbon. Bourbon candy, bourbon balls, bourbon in a bottle. Now, y'all do understand that Muslims do not drink. None, okay? So we can't take that. So over here in the corner was some Saran wrap, believe it or not, horseshoes. Who they say run on the track. Probably come out of W.C.'s barn. He sold them to somebody. They wrapped them up. They're horseshoes. Supposedly run, got dirt from Keeneland on them. So that's what we get. We get these, we give them to the guys, and oh, they're just tickled. Oh, really? These are horse racing shoes? Absolutely, they are. And this is a goodwill gift to you from us. Right? Well, can I help you all? There's not a gift shop as you go through the gate. You know, Peter's working the gate and everything. And you come through and over here's a gift shop. You want to get something to give Jesus? Y'all do understand that you make that while you're here. It's a real big deal to have a crown of life. That shows you endure. That shows you went through the trials, the test of life. You stood the place. You stood your ground. You stayed put. And here I am. And Jesus said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And He gives it to you. And guess what you're going to get to do? It's going to be wonderful, I think. Here you go, Jesus. Oh, Terry. I think it's better to give him the horseshoe. But you know what? There's a lot of people who go to church who are not going to be able to give Jesus anything. Because when the test of life came, they didn't stay put. Now James is going to close this way with this little piece of Scripture. He says it this way. And we've heard these verses before, but they mean a little more to me today. But every man, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Believe it or not, these are fishing terminology. How many's ever fished? How many's ever fished with artificial bait? Well, here it is in a nutshell. It's that bass, you're that bass laying by the bank over by the cattails. And all of a sudden, whomp. Oh, I like yellow. That's pretty. And shiny. Oh, I love rooster tails. And it starts spinning through the water. See? Now you're enticed. You know what happens next? Oh, I think I can catch that. And you know what he does? He lures you right out of your bed. Huh? Oh, that bass right there, he's got his little body. He's been swapping with the tail. He's got it all cleaned off. But you drop it over there and you pull it past him. And you know what's happened? Oh, yeah. I like that. Yellow. I like yellow. Who like yellow? Boom!
That's right. Amen.
Now you're being filleted and ate for supper. Can I tell you that's the devil's goal in this trial of you? The devil's goal is for you not to stay put. The devil's goal for you is, oh, I like yellow. Hell yeah. I just follow that right on out. See? This tempting, testing, trial, lured, is all about what you do in the trial of your life. How many Christians you think that James lost to the world, Brother Jim? See, this was an important letter because these people got scattered throughout the world and the world was pulling them. The world said, oh, let's sing these songs. The world was saying, let's do this. And I'm telling you something. To the flesh, it looked real good. And we probably won't get killed. I'm in over here. But what it did was it pulled them plumb out of what they're supposed to have been involved in. And so James writes a letter to people. He says, happy's the man. Happy's the man that stays put in the trial. And he's not led astray. Now, let me give you a story and close your Bibles and we'll go home. Moses was a great leader. You think Moses had any trials? Before he even knew he was in a trial, he's in a trial. Every boy is supposed to be killed. So his life started in a trial, did it not? He's grown up and he sees one of his fellow Israeli Hebrews being beaten by an Egyptian. What's he do? He jumps in and kills him. I'm in. He defends his people. Y'all okay? Oh, we're not supposed to be militia. He that careth not for his own is worse than an infidel. I'm not against guns either. Amen. Getting rid of ammunition and guns won't stop people from killing people. Y'all do know that, right? Amen. Just checking. Here's what I do know. God gave him a job. And he said, I want you to lead this group of people over here. And over here is going to be where they're going to get wealthy. And over here they're going to have all the food they can ever eat. And over here is just going to be wonderful. Good. Should be a piece of cake. Y'all read the story? These people are crazy. They have everything that God possibly could give them, and they complained about it. I'm sure glad that ain't us, aren't you? I'm sure glad we're not sitting here just mumble grumbling because we got it so bad. You never do that, do you? Well, they did anyway. Back to the story. So one day they're complaining about water. Well, you brought us out here to thirst to death. I'm so parched. We need water. So Moses goes and talks to God, and God says, Moses, there's a rock. Take your staff in your hand. Smite the rock. Water will come forth. People will drink. Oh, you think they like that? Oh, they like that. Wasn't just a few weeks later, you know what, we're getting tired of this manna from heaven. My soul loatheth. I'm so sick and tired of steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy. I'm so tired of ribeyes. If I see one more ribeye, I think I'll scream. Now, that sounds just nutty, doesn't it? But listen. I don't think ribeye is even comparable to manna from heaven. So they're getting this manna from heaven, right? They start complaining. So God says, I've got this. He sends some fiery snakes, right? They start biting people. People die. I like it. I like the thought process. And he even said this, Jim. Moses, we'll wipe them all out. I'll start brand new with you. I like that even better. But Moses says, no, no, no. God, these are your people and they're good people. That's what he said. As all this stuff, they're good people. And God, I want you to give them another chance. Y'all here, y'all done left. And God gives them another chance. Almost a year later,
We're so thirsty. I can't hardly. I need something.
God goes to. Moses goes to God. God, the people, they're complaining again. They're murmuring. What do you want me to do? Now turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, and I'll quit with you here. I want you to read this with me. You might even want to mark it, go home and surf it a little more. Numbers 20. Verse 7. He said, what does this have to do with James? Every bit, I'll show you, okay? Every bit. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak unto the rock before the eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from him before the Lord as he commanded him. You ready? Listen to verse 10. What did I say that James was saying? Blessed is the man that what? Endureth. How many of you get tired? How do you know what? I've been through it. I'm done. Stick the fork in me. I'm done. Had it. Finished. Anybody? I can't start a small group with them because ain't nobody. Most spiritual people I've promised I've ever pastored in my life. Moses, Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Y'all there? And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch your water out of this rock? How's he sounding so far? Loving? Sound like the same God that said, God, you know, you don't want to hurt them. You love them. Sound like the same guy? No. It doesn't sound like the same guy. Because you know why? He's had enough. But I'm going to tell you all a secret. As Christians, we're never supposed to have enough. You're never supposed to say, done. Now, it's happening all around us. What's going to make you different than everybody else is if you don't quit. Because I can promise you I can walk out of here tonight, it won't take me 5 minutes to find somebody who used to go to church. I can do it in 5 minutes. I can head off down the road right here. I can, in five seconds possibly, find somebody who used to go. But somebody did something, and now they're done. I'm done. Well, Moses is done. He called them what? Rebels. You rebels? You want us to fetch water from a rock for you to feed your animals? And Moses lifted up his hands with his rod and he smote the rock. What? Twice. I'm telling you what's happening, Paul. You ready? He's like hitting the rock and anybody else wants to come up, come on. He's had it. Well, he said it turned out all right, did it? Did it turn out okay? Let's read. By the way, what happened? The water came, didn't it? Well, God must have been all right, Greg, because the water came. Can I tell y'all something? Here's what happens to Christians. They don't stay put, and the devil lures them out. I was out of pond and over there, and you know what they start thinking? God must have been all right. Sky didn't fall until you hit by lightning. God must have been good. And the Lord spake unto Moses. It's always good when the Lord speaks. And Aaron. What was the problem? Was it obedience? Well, really you could say that, but really you can't say that. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. See, James' lesson was about faith. And faith is believing God. Right? But substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is you believing God. God said, Moses, speak to the rock, it's all right. Speak to the rock, it'll happen. Moses is angry. Here's what God said. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Y'all understand this? 40 years, Mike, his lifelong dream. He could see it. He wandered by it. And now he shot himself in the foot. He don't get to go in. He died on the mountain on this side. How big a deal was it that he got lured away? Big deal? Who suffered? Those people still got over there. Come on. The children of Israel still got in the promised land. Who didn't get in the promised land? Moses. See, this is about you, and it's about God. Did you see what God said? Because you didn't sanctify me unto the people. When you lost it, Moses, you represented me. You say, because you're me on earth. Moses, those people look to you and they think you're me. And so here's what happens, Moses. When you did that, they think that's how I am. And because of that, you've ruined my testimony with these people. I had to stay put one more time. I mean, he'd been through it. You and I, you think we could go through what he's been through? Here's what I'm telling you, you're supposed to. How much more can I take? Whatever he dishes out. Whatever God brings, whatever trial comes your way, you're to pass that test. How? By staying put. Stay put. Stay put. Now what's going to happen is the lure's going to hit the water and you're going to be enticed out. But what do? I ain't biting that junk. I'm not going for that. And here's what I'm going to do. All Moses had to do was feast on that promised land and keep his eyes on it, and God would help him get there. He took his eyes off. And this is what God said to you and I today in James. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is finished, he will receive a crown of life. It's God. Listen, if you don't think Jesus is standing there holding it, you're all crazy. He's standing right there saying, come on. We got this. And the devil's throwing bait all the time, trying to lure you out. But what do you got to do? Stay put. That's a good lesson. Can I tell you this? It's harder said than done. Because when I'm in the trial, you know what I want, Bob? I want out. And I'm looking for a way out, Keona. But God says, no. Stay put. Can I tell you this with all honesty and sincerity?
Wait a minute. Who said anything about permanent disability? I didn't say nothing about that. Because if I get permanent disability, that means I can't go any place and preach, right? You're not supposed to. And if you do, if you ever receive any money, then you're in trouble. So I said, that's a no-brainer for me. I don't want it. You have to understand, you don't understand. I'm not going to make that doctor visit. So they called like 3 or 4 times, I'm not going to make that visit. Can I tell you that was tempting? Can I tell you something? That I can sit at home and not do nothing? And to say honestly that the doctor said that I can't do this anymore? We're supposed to listen to the doctor, right? Can I tell you something? That ain't what God said.
Right.
I'm not saying there may not come a time in my life that may have to happen. But I'm telling you, 10 years later, it hasn't happened. And God's allowed me to preach every place, all over the world. And I hope this year I keep doing it again. Amen. And all I know is, I got to trust Him and not follow the lures that lure people out.
Yeah. Right.
Who's more powerful in your life, God or all this other stuff? Right. The other stuff was tempted. I'm trusting God here.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Every one of us, at some time or another, we're in a trial, and it looks like the best way out is to go that route, or that route, or that route. But like God says, the best way is to stay put and endure. Stay put. You'll be all right. And you know what? Don't I look good?
Amen.
Here's what I know. God is for us. And these trials are for us.
Sure.
They make us stronger. They help us go forward. Why? So lost people will say, I don't get it. There's a Muslim today, a doctor, who I believe is the Savior of Christ, because I was sick. He asked me, how do Christians go to heaven? Why do you do what you do? And I could tell him, because I serve a God who did what he did.
Amen.
And you know what? It's hard to argue that, isn't it? So where are you at in your trial today? Is the devil rooster tail coming through? Are you tempted? What does God say? Endure this. You'll be all right. And I'll be glorified because of it. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for all you do and your blessings. I pray now for our invitation. Lord, you know the needs here today. And Lord, I know what happened in Moses' life. I know sometimes enough is enough. But Lord, I realize when it came to Calvary, enough was only when you died on the cross. Lord, I thank you for the example. I know why James could write what he wrote, because he saw what he saw. And Lord, I pray for those who are coming behind us today. They won't find a quitter, but they'll find someone who stay put. And Lord, what we need today is Christians to stay put and do what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to do it at. Lord, guide us and direct us. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right?